The first part of the question deals with the last verse of Surah Kausar. That is, Inna Shaniyaka Huwal Abtar. No, it's not the last. Yes, it is the last bit. And he wants to understand the background of this. Surah Kausar, although very short, only three verses, is in fact a very deep and rich surah in meaning and very wide in its application. As far as this particular verse is concerned, the background of this is that Hazur Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not been gifted by a male issue. He had no son who could live long enough to become a man. So the Arabs, just to mock at him and to deride, used to call him Abtar, which means a person who is without a without a male issue, because the line in fact ran from the male issues, not from the females. It was first time in the Arab history that the Sayyid's line started from female issue. Previously, in the Arab background, it was quite well established that those who had only girls, their line would not continue beyond the death of those girls. So that is the one who is called Abtar. Abtar means one who will die and whose daughters will also die if he has any daughters. And after that, no trace of such that person will be ever left in the world, so he'll be totally obliterated. That is the real sense behind the word Abtar. And they mocked at Hazur sallallahu alaihi wasallam, claiming that you say you are a prophet of all times, to live forever, and you are the made the, in a sense, the emperor of the whole world, in the spiritual sense. Yet what we observe is this, that beyond the first generation you are not going to live. You are not going to survive beyond the first generation of your daughters. After that you will be finished. So that was the pinch behind this. The Holy Quran said, Inna Shaniyaka Huwal Abtar. It is your enemy whose name will be obliterated from the history of Arab. In fact, at least in the sense that nobody will remember your enemies with kindness and with kind words. If remembered, they would be remembered with curses. So that is also worse than obliteration of a name. So Inna Shaniyaka Huwal Abtar means that the reverse is going to happen. Now what happened was, in fact, that the leaders among those who used to laugh at Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by saying he is an Abtar was Abu Jahl. And his own son became a Muslim. And so much so that whenever somebody said Ikrimah was son of Abu Jahl, he felt deeply offended and he did not want to be attributed to such a man. Once he went to Hazur sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained that Ya Rasulullah, someone among the Muslims was pointing to me and saying he is son of Abu Jahl. So Hazur sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt the hurt he had felt and said no live man should be tortured for a dead man's sins. What a beautiful answer to his complaint. Dead man's sins were of course there. They could not be denied, they could not be obliterated. Yet it's a beautifully balanced sentence. No live man should be tortured for a dead man's sins. And that is what happened to people, to Kuffar Makkah, to begin with one after the other and then whole scale, en masse. The entire offsprings the progeny of the Kufar in Makkah and Mushrikeen became Muslims. And within a generation or two, you could not find a single man who could attribute with honor, who could permit you to be attributed with honor to his parents or grandparents or grand-grandparents. And they felt it a shame. That is the meaning of Inna Shaniya Kahwal Abtar. What they think of you, it is going to happen to them. So the culmination of this can be observed in the famous incident of Ikrama before his mortification. What happened was that once Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was holding court, I mean, not in the material sense, but a spiritual court. The room in which he was sitting was not big enough to occupy the entire people who wanted to see him. And he had also limited time. So what was happening was this, that some guardians were stationed outside, and they would call, first take permission from Hazrat Umar, giving him the list, these are the people who want to see you. And then he would call the names, okay, Mr. So-and-so should come in, Mr. So-and-so should come in. In one version, there are two different versions, but in one version, this is exactly what I am telling you, what happened. They named one after the other different people who belonged to the old slaves of the time of Hazur Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the sons of the great leaders of Mecca were totally ignored. With the result that one after the other they went, and the whole room was occupied. They said what they wanted to say and sat down very close to him. So the whole room was full of them, and their turn did not come. So it is said that four of them got together, and one said that, you know what has happened to us today? They were very sensitive, these Arab leaders, extremely sensitive to their honor. So sensitive that for the smallest affront, they are known such wars to have taken place which lasted 100 years or more. So after all, they were the sons of such violent people in temperament, and they were extremely sensitive to their honor. So one of them, in a very hurt tone, told the three companions, among them was Ikrama one. So he said, you know what has happened today? So either Ikrama or someone else said, yes, we know. But we also know that it was the fault of our fathers. No fault of Hazrat Umar that we have been treated like this. He said, when there was a time when, for the sake of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, these were the slaves who were being dragged in the streets, and they shed their blood for the sake of Islam. And it were the cursed fathers we had who were responsible for this treatment. So he's absolutely right. Ikrama went into the room and begged Hazrat Umar of audience. When he was permitted, he said, I have come not to complain. We understand what has happened. We understand that it was the responsibility of our fathers. It was their fault for which we are suffering, and justly so. But all I want to tell you is this, that after all, we are the sons of great Arabs, great Quraysh, who were very sensitive to their honor. There must be some way out. Somehow or the other, we should be told that if you do this, then you will be able to wash the follies of your elders. If blood is required, we are ready to offer blood. But those follies must be washed once and for all. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala heard this, it is said that he felt so emotionally moved that he could not utter a word in answer. He knew if I would speak, I'll break down. So instead of saying anything, he raised his finger in the direction of the north, where a holy war was waging between the Muslims and Kaisar's empire. So he just raised his finger, and he understood the message, of course, that Hazrat Umar wants to tell him that if you go and sacrifice your life for the sake of Islam in the northern front, then everything of the past will be washed out from you. You will live a new life, and that life will never come to an end. An eternal life will be gained in exchange for this mortal life. So he, along with his companions, some say there were four, some say there were eight, some say there were three who went, but they all went and never returned. In one battle, they all got killed. This is how Inna Shaniyaka Huwa Labtar was fulfilled. Not only in this incident, but in detail, in every incident where an enemy of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who used to call him Abtar, himself bore witness that it were his forefathers who were Abtar and not Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is in short the background of this short verse, Inna Shaniyaka Huwa Labtar. The second question was that Hazrat Masih Maud Salatu Wassalam had been revealed that Inni Muhinun Man Arada Ehanatak Wa Inni Muinun Man Arada Ehanatak, that I will bring to shame, bring to dishonor, or I'll dishonor those who want to dishonor you, and I'll help those who help you or who will help you. This verse, Chauhi Sahib wanted to know, is revealed to Muslims. This is not a verse, this revelation is Hazrat Masih Maud Alaihi Salatu Wassalam's ilham, and he thought there was some similarity between this and Inna Shaniyaka Huwa Labtar. The similarity is only to the extent that both are revelations of perpetual nature. They don't apply to one single moment or some one particular enemy. Whenever things would repeat themselves, these prophecies would then repeat themselves. For example, those are the enemies of Ahadra Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who want eradication of Islam. They in fact are claiming that Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would be left Abtar. So the same treatment will be meted out to them. They and their religions and so-called philosophies would be obliterated, but not Islam. So in fact, this Inna Shaniyaka Huwa Labtar is a verse of a permanent nature, not of temporary application. In the same manner, Inni Muhinun Man Arada Ehanatak and Inni Muhinun Man Arada Ehanatak, both these revelations, or the both parts of this revelation, are of permanent nature. And we have seen them fulfilled one after the other. An enemy was destroyed by Allah, and another enemy rose, much bigger, he thought he was. And he thought he was more powerful, and he would not commit the same mistakes which previous enemies of Ahmadiyyat committed. So this time Ahmadiyyat is going to be destroyed, and whatever he tried failed ultimately. Ahmadiyyat came out victorious, much larger, much bigger, much more powerful than previously, and it was the enemy who was ultimately destroyed. So we are passing through the same phenomena nowadays. And you will see this is a decree of Allah which no man on earth can change. Some people have begun to think that they would change it, but they are as big fools as previously there have been before them, because they don't know the ways of Allah. They don't know how encompassing the decree of Allah is. They don't know that the past has never been changed, the past history of Ahmadiyyat, by any man on earth, and it will not be permitted to be changed by any man on earth. The course will remain steadfast in the same direction, that is the direction of ever greater victory. Though greater suffering will also come our way, there is no doubt about it. Ahmadiyyat has been also described as Ashab-e Kahf, and such are exactly the days in Pakistan under which Ahmadiyyat community of Pakistan is passing. They are almost like living the days of the caves. So difficulties would come, that nobody can deny. But what we deny is that difficulties will not be able to destroy Ahmadiyyat. They will infuse new blood into Ahmadiyyat. And after every trial, after every crisis, Ahmadiyyat would come out stronger and more honorable and more powerful and better established. This is the fate. So the enemies will keep on changing. A new name would come and another name would appear and another face would displace the previous face, whatever name you give him. But Ahmadiyyat would remain the same Ahmadiyyat and same steadfast, ever moving forward, Jamaat of Allah, which nobody, no power on earth, whatever the name of that power be, can ever destroy it. This is positive and 100% certain. So this is the similarity between the two. As far as this revelation is concerned, Inna Shaniya Kaho Labtar, to Hazrat Masih, addressing Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, it also has a wide application, not in the same sense that Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam was issueless to begin with, but in another sense, it is the situation is similar. When Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam claimed to be the appointed reformer by Allah, the one which was being awaited for many, many centuries, at that time, the only two sons which he had, who belonged to him, refused to believe in him. They did not accept him. They did not get initiated. One was Mirza Fazal Ahmad and the other was Mirza Sultan Ahmad. And he was almost issueless in that sense that he had no male issue belonging to him. So Allah promised him that although people are laughing at him and say that your own sons have denied you, what can you think of? How can you think of a great future? He claimed ultimately that Allah has promised me a progeny which will be all blessed by Allah, and one of them would rise to great heights. When he made this prophecy, exactly an opposite prophecy was made by Lake Ram. And then the fight began of who is going to be Abtar. Lake Ram said, and he published a book in response to the prophecy of Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, that you say you will be born, your God would give you a great progeny who would live long and will become victorious, and the dark ages would be changed by their blessing, by the blessing Allah would show to them, into light and this and that. But my Lord has told me that it was not God who was speaking to Mirza. It was the Satan himself who was addressing Mirza. He used these words, and he said, Mirza Sahib. And as you know, all the words that Satan has spoken to you were false, and they will never be fulfilled. So quite contrarily, my Lord, who is the real God of the world, has told me that in the first place, he will have no progeny, no issue at all. If he has an issue, it would be as insignificant as a rat and would not live long enough to reach maturity, would die in early childhood. He says, had se had 3 saal zinda rahega. Now, Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi wasalam had prophesied for him to die, and it took him, took that prophecy 6 years to be fulfilled. Now, here lies the secret why it took so long. He lived long enough to see his prophecy frustrated. The son was born, and the 3 years passed, and another 3 years passed when he was ultimately destroyed, and he died an issueless person. Lake Ram did not leave a male issue at all. So that is what is meant by Inna Shaniya Kohalaptar in particular. But in generality, in its permanent applications, it's an unlimited phenomena which will continue to be fulfilled in many ways.